Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have reports and some tips for you from Jarrett McCarthy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then we had an interesting talk with our local Wisconsin DNR fisheries biologist, Max Walter. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Get ready to ride. Hayward Power Sports has 2023 Polaris off-road vehicles in stock and ready for action. Plus, during the Polaris Spring Do More sales event, there are even generous incentives offered for the first time in years. Adrenaline junkies, feel the unbridled freedom of the pure speed and power with a Polaris RZR 1000 XP Ultimate offering a rebate of $3,000. Or do you need a side-by-side that's a true workhorse? Then the Polaris RZR 1000 Premium is it and comes with a $1,500 rebate. Hayward Power Sports even has the machine that started it all, the Polaris Sportsman ATV with a $500 rebate on select models. And don't forget, we can help customize your machine to match how you use it. The options are endless, from a winch, plow, cab, heater or AC, to racks, gun scabbards, track kits, and more. These are all brand new 2023 models, and stock is limited. Don't miss out. Come see us at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
For complete program details, see Hayward Power Sports. Always wear a helmet, never drink and ride.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu. And while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle and talking to Jarrett McCarthy. And Jarrett is really starting to come together here at the shop. Boy, you're really getting a lot of new stuff out there.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of new stuff out there. We're getting stuff up really fast now. And it's a good thing because, you know, I'm looking at weather forecasts for, the end of this week and next week. And I see 50s and sun on the way. So as soon as we get a little bit of that, you know, that snow and ice is going to go fast. And we're going to get to some open water fishing here pretty quick.
And I agree with that, because even though I think some of these snowbanks are going to be here probably till May because they're 6 feet thick or more, the ice out there is just basically a lot of white ice, and that usually breaks up and goes pretty quick.
Which will be really, really nice, because I'm sure that there are a lot of anglers, including myself, that are chomping at the bit to get the boat out and go sit on some open water.
Still a few guys out there trying to ice fish, I guess, though.
Yeah, we've seen a couple guys coming in here or there that are headed out for late ice panfish, and you know, a couple odds on guys that are still out there targeting bass. But yeah, it's a good time to get out there. You know, we got some really nice weather out there to do it right now. But you know, if you can find good safe ice, you know, you can enjoy that last window of, you know, ice fishing out there with some nice temperatures.
Yeah, and usually it's pretty productive this time of year. Have you heard anything on rivers at all?
I have not, no. Heard a little bit at the beginning of last week, but since then, haven't heard much.
Not much reports back from up on the Brule or anything either. I haven't heard anything.
You know, so last week we had a handful of guys that went up, and I think we talked to one of them, and he came back, and he said that when they went up there last weekend, the morning started off really, really well, and then as soon as that sun came out, everything scattered. So, yeah, it was a really nice weekend temperature-wise, but that sun, that really hurt.
I know there'll be a bunch of guys that from northern Wisconsin here, as soon as they can get open water at boat landing, which may be already on some, like maybe Saxon Harbor for one, but they'll be up there trolling for trout and salmon.
Yep. Yeah, that's coming up fast as soon as we get a little bit of open water, which, you know, we're not too far away from. Those guys will be out there.
I know guys have been heading other places too, fishing, getting reports of some pretty good fishing on Mississippi River. We've talked about that over on the Fox River. Well, I haven't heard anything about up on the Rainy River yet, but that always closes on the 15th, too. So there's a narrow window there if they got open water.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about that. But, yeah, I saw some pictures of guys that I knew stopping in the shop last week. They were showing me pictures of walleye and perch that they had been getting. So, yeah, there's definitely some good fishing going on right now.
Let's talk about some of the spring fishing things that are coming up as far as gearing up for it. And I want to start getting ready.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to start getting ready for stuff. And, you know, I think the very first thing on everybody's list after you get to the boat is, you know, walk through your terminal tackle selection. You know, are you good on your hooks, your bobbers, your sinkers, you know, all kind of your no-brainer kind of deals, you know, and then you can jump into your plastics and your spinner baits and what have you. Just making sure you've got the necessities to get out there and then play with all the fancier stuff after that.
You know, and reels, too. I mean, I've been tearing a bunch of reels apart that I haven't been in for a couple of years, and it's amazing to get in there, and the grease is all hard and caked, and, you know, you got to wash them out real good, you know, and then put new grease in them. Like, silicone grease seems to work really good in them.
Yep, new grease, and just make sure you're keeping your line on your reels fresh, too, you know. We see a handful of people that come in that, you know, and I understand that not everybody fishes as much as a lot of us do, but, you know, you should be changing your line out every year or 2 years or what have you, just keeping that fresh, because, you know, there's not a worse feeling than having a big fish hooked and hearing that pink in the line and watching that thing swim away because he had some bad line on your reel.
You bet. Well, you know, and with some of the braid is kind of expensive. So one thing a person can do, too, is if you had two different reels, you can swap end for end. In other words, you crank it off one reel onto the other. So you're getting out toward the end that you're casting the line that was sitting on the reel all year, which is in good condition.
Absolutely. Yep. Good tip there. But, yeah, just make sure you're going through all your reels, looking at your line, looking at all your line guys, you know, dusting everything off, getting it ready to roll. So, you know, as soon as open water comes around, you are ready to get out there.
I noticed you got a lot of the fishing rods out right now, too. And if somebody's looking for a new rod, that this is the time to look at them before they get picked over, even, you know.
Absolutely. You know, we've got a lot of rods already out, and we've got more slated to be on the way or what have you. But, you know, we've got all your best brands out there. We've got Daiwa, we've got St. Croix, we've got Fenwick. So if you're in the market for a rod, whether it's a, you know, bass, panfish, you know, we've even got some of our musky rods in already. But if you're in there looking for something, you know, stop on in. We're redoing the reel counter up front right now, too. We've got everything in stock. So whatever you're looking for, whatever kind of setup, stop in. If we don't have it, we can find a way to get it for you.
A couple things I noticed in here, too, is a huge selection of bass plastics, big, a lot of stuff.
Absolutely. We've got a really big selection. We've got a lot of stuff that's a lot easier to find this year. You know, we've got all your Berkley, including your Maxent. That was hard to get for the past couple of years, and we've got a really nice selection of it this year. All your Z-Man gear, you know, your Pro Tour gear. You know, Chompers, Kalins, Yamamoto, whatever it is you're looking for, bass plastic-wise, we've got it here.
Amazing amount of gulp here, a whole aisle on the bottom shelf just full of gulp in containers, not even talking about what's hanging on the pegboard.
Yeah, and there's a reason for it, you know, with that gulp stuff. There are times where that stuff works better than live bait, you know, and, you know, if you get into a bite where they're hitting on that gulp, you're a lot more efficient, too. You're going through a lot less bait. You're spending a lot less time trying to rebait, so all you early angle or all you early season crappie anglers, you know, don't be afraid to, you know, crack open a can of gulp.
You know, interesting story I'll tell you about that, too. I had two guys in the boat a few years back, and I've been a big proponent of gulp. I fish a lot of it. But two guys in the boat, and one guy had to bring along his crappie minnow, you know, pail. And I got to fish the crappie minnows. And his buddy and me, we said, you know what, let's keep track of what we catch compared to what you catch in your minnows. And it was 12 to 1. 12 on gulp to 1 on minnows. It's amazing what that stuff is sometimes.
And there will definitely be people out there that are still like that. It's, you know, it's not a plastic bait or whatever, but for that gentleman, it had to be a confidence bait. And wherever you're going to go, definitely take your confidence baits. But, you know, don't be afraid to try something new. You'd be surprised how many baits you'll start adding to your box once you just give in a little bit and start trying something else.
You know, and the other thing, too, I noticed pan fishing is really popular, especially early in the season like this. And as soon as we get open water, you've got a whole lot of new stuff when it comes to the panfish, too, especially some of the soft plastics.
We sure do. You know, obviously on the show, we've highlighted Z-Man before. We got a lot of new Mr. Crappie gear coming in. We've got all the Kalins plastics, you know, the crappie scrubs, the little tickle tail minnows for panfish or what have you, plus a host of jigs by VMC. We've got some hair jigs coming in. Obviously, we've got your chicken jigs that are been really popular around here the past couple of years. But yeah, there's so much in the line of panfish gear that, you know, it's just going to be awesome to get out and use.
There's a reason. It's probably the most popular thing out there people go fish for. I know that anybody needs information on, you know, lakes and places to go here or tackle, everything else, they can stop in and talk to you guys.
Absolutely. We're here. We're knowledgeable. You know, every once in a while we catch fish around here. So, yeah, we know where to point you.
Thanks, Jared, for taking the time here.
Thanks, John.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we'll be talking to our local DNR fisheries biologist, Max Walter. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop for the Hayward area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and much more. Whether you fish for bass, walleyes, panfish, or muskies, at Hayward Bait and Bottle, you'll find everything you'll need for a successful season. Check out their huge selection of musky baits, and again this year, they've expanded their selection of soft plastic bass and walleye baits. In the bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer and liquor. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin, welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Make the deal of a lifetime on a new Lund from Hayward Power Sports. Save over $21,000 on a fully loaded 1975 Pro V Sport. Or we've discounted the 2075 Pro V Sport Limited over $34,000. We have remaining 2022s, and the brand new 2023 Lunds are here with more arriving weekly. From the 1650 Angler SS, that's ideal for fishing small bodies of water, all the way to the 1875 Impact XS, that's perfect for family fishing for up to six people. Get your new Lund today at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, I had a chance the other day on the phone to talk to our local DNR fisheries biologist, Max Walter, about some interesting things coming up and what they have planned for the spring fishery surveys.
Max, good to have you on the show here. Looking at spring coming up here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Can we say happy spring? Are we there? I think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think it will. I mean, we got a lot of snow to get rid of. I think we'll have snow banks sitting around until halfway into the summer to put your beer cans in to cool them. But I think the ice will go quick because that ice this year just didn't develop like it normally does on normal years, did it?
No. Yeah, it's been a different kind of winter in many ways. And hopefully it'll kind of be coming to a close here, you know, looking at the forecast. And I generally like what I'm seeing. You know, it's going to warm up, but we have thawed ground in most places, so a lot of this water is going to go down instead of going directly into rivers and creating a lot of, you know, runoff and flooding issues potentially. Not that some of that can't still happen, but I think we're going to absorb a lot of this water and get it as groundwater, which is even better for lake levels and trout streams and all that stuff.
Yeah, kind of what I've been thinking and seeing out there too is that we need to bring them lakes back up again. You know, let's talk about a couple of things real quick here. The one thing that'll be happening here the week, the Monday after this show airs, is your chance to vote online for the annual conservation hearing thing. That'll be an online thing again, right?
That's right. Yep. The way to provide input this year, once again, is online. It's open for a period of a couple days starting on Monday. So the way to do that is go online, go to the DNR website, and use the little DNR or the little search icon and type in WCC or Conservation Congress, and that'll bring you to the page for the Congress, and there you'll see, you know, where you can provide your input and look through all the questions and tell us whether you support or oppose them. And there's quite a few. There's a lot going on this year.
Well, you know, there's several things statewide on there, but there's some things that are local, and one of them is that if you're actually going to do this as an experimental regulation to see if we can get those big, giant crappies back in a lake again, in one of our lakes.
Well, I don't want to overpromise on big giant, but we do have a proposal. And you're talking about the one for Moose Lake. That would be kind of an experimental panfish regulation scheme, a reduced bag limit paired with a kind of a unique size limit where you can only harvest one panfish over 12 inches. Most likely that's going to be a crappie. See if we can improve the size of a panfish in Moose Lake, because folks have an interest in that for a long, long time, as you know. And so we're going to put that out and see what people think of that proposal, if it's supported, and it goes into place, then we'd kind of monitor that population and see how things change over time.
I do know that the crappie population in that particular lake and moose did average quite a bit bigger back in 40 years ago, but we've seen that on a lot of lakes. The size structure seems to go down with increased fishing pressure.
Sure, yeah, it's one of the fairly predictable and common things as you get more people fishing and anglers are efficient and are catching lots. It's harder to maintain those really old individuals, and that's really what it is. A large fish is typically also an old fish, and so every season when there's a lot of angling pressure, it's a risk that fish is going to get harvested. And lakes that have a lot of angling pressure, it's just hard for them to make it to be 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, which is what a really, really big crappie is.
Well, actually, when you're talking about that, people would be better off to actually harvest the younger and more abundant fish and a little bit smaller fish rather than, say, well, let's throw that one back and let it grow some. We want the bigger fish. We should be harvesting the younger, smaller fish, I think.
Yep, yeah, and you and I have been talking about that for years and trying to get people to kind of reframe their thinking on what they harvest and, if they really want to see super big fish in a population, you got to let the sort of big ones go and harvest again the more abundant fish, which in case in terms of crappies might mean harvesting more 9 and 10 inch fish and starting to release some more of the bigger ones. And that's exactly what that experimental regulation would kind of force people to do. You could take one big crappie, you get the 1/12, but that's it. So you have to put some of your harvest on some of the more abundant smaller sizes. And that's been a popular idea for a long time. We just haven't always had the support from anglers to do it. But things are changing, and so we'd be interested to see what the results are on that proposal.
What else is on that meeting that might be of real interest to people here in the Hayward area?
Sure. So the two other local questions, one's pretty straightforward. It relates to Island Lake and Osprey Lake, two kind of smaller lakes that have seasonal panfish reduced bag limits. So that's part of that larger panfish experimental project. And the folks on those lakes said, we don't have a problem with the reduced bag limit. In fact, we'd prefer to have it year round instead of just having it for kind of the two peak early summer months. And so we worked with them on that and said, yep, we can put that out as a proposal. So that's pretty straightforward. It would just mean the reduced bag limit would be in place year round instead of just in May and June. The other one's a little more complex and different, I guess, because it relates to pike bag limits and increasing bag limits in lakes where we're trying to maintain a lower abundance of northern pike and using angling harvest as a tool to get there. So we're looking to go with a 10 daily bag limit for northern pike on the Chippewa-Flowage, the Couderay, the Tiger Cat chain, and the Spider chain.
I know. Yeah, pike has become a problem on some of our lakes up here, and the problem is a lot of people just don't want to harvest them, it seems like.
That's true, yeah. So even a place like the Chippewa-Flowage, where we've been heavily promoting pike harvest for quite a long time and have programs to even incentivize people, about 80% of the pike that are caught are released. So what we're hoping to do with increasing the bag limit is, knowing that only a relatively small percentage of anglers are willing to keep pike, make it possible for them to actually take more home on any given trip, especially in times of the year where pike are relatively easy to catch in those early summer months, and try to maximize that opportunity to harvest pike by the few people that are willing to do it, at the times when it's really easy. I don't expect people are going to be catching full 10 bags of pike all year round. They get harder to catch once you get later into summer and fall, but we hope it'll increase the amount of total pike harvest, which is needed on these lakes, not just, for muskies, which are the native species that we're trying to manage for, but also so we can have bigger pike. When abundance of any species gets too high, the size starts to suffer, and so keeping pike thinned out is also beneficial for their populations.
And we've talked about this multiple times on the radio here, the fact that pike are actually very good eating fish, right up there with anything else. And they're actually more abundant without hurting the population. We could harvest more pike than we can a lot of other game fish species and have some good table fare there to eat, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think some people are coming around to that message. The challenge has been, and I've talked to folks that have helped organize some of the great pike events out on the Chip, but there's just a lot of people that their mode is not to harvest any fish. They're going out, they're doing catch and release for bass or muskie or whatever, and they just don't harvest anything. How do you convince those people to actually harvest something when their standard is kind of just catch and release for everything? The other group would be, panfish anglers that aren't really encountering pike at a very high rate, but might keep one if they caught it. So can you convert some of those people or whatever? So it's a challenge.
Yeah, a lot of interesting things there to talk about. I know you're geared up for spring. I mean, every year you're the hardest guy to try to get a hold of because you're out there on the lakes doing your job trying to figure out what's going on and what needs to be done.
Yeah, spring is quite the time for us, and this looks like it'll be a pretty fast, maybe compacted spring, which is always more of a challenge. The way our season kind of goes is it can be very slow until the ice goes out. You know, this time of year we don't schedule a lot of meetings and things like that because we don't really know exactly when it's going to happen. When the ice does go out, we're as busy as can be for 2 weeks, you know, going every day, long days, day and night at times. Then it gets a little better, but we're still netting and still on the lakes basically every day for about 4 more weeks. Then we switch to electrofishing at night for about 2 weeks. And so it's about 8 weeks, about 2 solid months of going almost nonstop. And then things do finally settle down once you get into like mid-June. So we're on the cusp of that. We've got our plans in place. We're ready to go.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that bring this show to you every week. When we come back, we'll have the second part of that talk we had with fisheries biologist Max Walter. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hey, folks, come on over to Hayward Ace Hardware and check out the area's largest selection of firearms, ammo, and accessories. We carry top brands like Browning and Sig Sauer, and we have a great selection of the newest and hard-to-find models. We've got a large selection of ammo with more coming in daily. If you need a scope, we carry great brands like Leupold, Hawk, and EOTech, and we'll even mount it and bore sight it for you, too. We even sell suppressors and silencers. And don't forget to check out our Guns of the Week. Huge discounts on a variety of pistols, rifles, and shotguns that change every week. So stop on in to Hayward Ace Hardware, your firearm superstore. Hayward Ace Hardware, Highway 63 North in Hayward, or give us a call at 715-634-8700.
Hayward Animal Hospital is a full-service medical and surgical hospital featuring on-site laboratory, digital and dental x-ray, in-house pharmacy, and online store. Dr. Ostrander has 40 years of experience dealing with illnesses, injuries, surgery, and dentistry. Hayward Animal Hospital offers urgent care appointments and emergency surgery daily. Please call early in the day for these appointments. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, we're going to jump right back into the second part of that talk we had with our local DNR fisheries biologist, Max Walter.
Well, you guys, I know you get out there, you do a lot of shocking at night on some nights, and you do a bunch of netting. What's the difference? Why do you net in some instances and shocking in others? What's the difference there?
It's a great question. Yeah, it just comes down to different species that we're targeting. Some species, we can capture them in the nets really well. Pike, walleye, muskie, they all come into the nets because they're spawning along shorelines where they're kind of cruising along, pairing up. And when they hit the lead part of our net, it just directs them right in there. And it works really, really well for species that spawn like that. Other species that don't go along shorelines, kind of dropping eggs. The ones that build nests are more stationary. And so we'll target those with electrofishing where we kind of go to them because they're not going to come into our nets in the way that we expect them to. So that's kind of the simple explanation for why we use the two different methods.
Well, you know, bass are one of them. We've got a lot of good bass lakes up here right now. And, you know, the smallmouth fishery is tremendous. You know what? What I understand is that you said they don't move a lot. And I understand that actually the smallmouth bass is always going to stay pretty close to the area that he was spawned and hatched on.
Yeah, that's something we're finding out more and more across different fish species is, you know, everybody knows about salmon and kind of how they come back to their home river to spawn after being way out in the ocean and all that. And that's kind of always considered to be very incredible, but we are finding out similar things with our freshwater species on a smaller scale. They do have some fidelity. They spawn in the same place year after year, and they may come back to the same areas that they were hatched in, and you kind of almost get these different little subpopulations within a lake based on, you know, where they're from, little neighborhoods of fish, which is kind of cool. And, you know, we see that when tagging studies and all sorts of, you know, different things that we're doing out there with surveys.
Well, yeah, in the smallmouth, in some waters, they do kind of move around the system a little bit more. But for the majority, from what I understand, that they stick pretty close to that same one home area, winter or summer. They just move different depths.
Yeah, and we think about, you know, fish. So much of their decision-making, so to speak, is how do I get energy, how do I get food without using much energy, right? So if you had a good rock bar and you know there's going to be crayfish around all the time, why leave? Why go swim around the lake and go, you know, take your chance somewhere else where, you know, you got food at home? And so that's typically what they do, is if they've got a good spot, they're going to stay there. Sometimes they're forced to move for one reason or another, but... yeah, they're home bodies to the extent that they can be.
Well, you know, what lakes are you going to be out on this year, and what are you looking for?
Sure. Yeah, I can kind of go through our order here. This is kind of how we expect them to go in terms of, like, when the ice is going to go out. So our first stop is almost certainly going to be Barker Lake. That's on the East Fork of the Chippewa, and that'll have all that water ripping through there, and that one will come open pretty soon. So that'll be our first stop, looking for walleye, looking for crappies, muskies. After that, we're expecting to hop up to Nelson to do a pike survey right after the ice goes out. That's you know, Nelson's always been a pretty good pike fishery, but we've been getting some concerns and a lot of questions from folks lately about what's going on out there. And so we're going to take a look at pike as well as other species. Then we're going to maybe go to Smith Lake. There was some work we weren't able to complete last year. We just kind of ran out of time, so we might do a little bit more of a follow-up on Smith right across the road from Nelson. Then our big effort's going to be on Teal and Lost Land, where we're going to try to estimate the total number of adult walleye in each of those lakes. We'll do some work with muskies and crappies, too. After Nelson, probably Tiger Cat, looking at pike and muskie. That'll be the big question there, as it has been for a number of years. And then last stop will be Round. As Round starts to warm up a little bit, we'll get in there for probably muskies and crappies. And then many of those lakes will also get a bass and bluegill survey a little later on, probably in early June. So that's kind of the list for this year.
Well, that sounds like a big project.
It is. It's a lot of hours. It's a lot of timing. It's a lot of trying to keep track of, okay, the ice went out here on this day, so we want to be here about now, and tracking water temperatures and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's a little bit hectic, and sometimes we're on 2-3 lakes during the same day, decontaminating the boat in between, run back to the office, bleach everything down, reload with nets, and off we go again. But I'm really lucky to have a very good crew. You know, Scott Braden, our technician in Hayward's, the best in the game at making sure that this train runs on time. So it's not just me.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting you on the radio after you get all that data, and it'll be a while yet, but find out what you're finding out on some of these lakes, because a lot of the lakes are lakes that I fish and guide on, too.
Good, yeah, and we always find out interesting stuff. You know, we have the things that we want to know, like how many walleye are in the lake or whatever, but then we always end up observing and noticing other interesting things along the way that are often very unexpected. So hopefully people like hearing about that, because we're always willing to share that information.
Hopefully you don't find things you don't want to find.
Well, that's true. I mean, yeah, part of this is identifying where there's problems that we need to address, but sometimes it's just curiosities. You know, can you believe the fish were doing this? Or, you know, we saw this oddity or something like that. And we do try to, you know, take note of anything that might help anglers. You know, crappies were here, or, you know, smallmouth look like they're at this stage in their cycle or whatever. So try to relay that to the best we can as well.
A lot of great information, Max, as usual, from you, and I really appreciate you taking the time with us here to tell us what's going on.
Sounds good. We'll catch up again soon.
Okay. Thanks, Max.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at WNORadio.com. And from there, you can link to our podcast site, and the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me. I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.